Oh, praise the Lord this morning. That's a wonderful thing to watch God choreograph services, to watch how he makes songs run together with sermons, with lessons, with testimonies. My thought this week has been struggles, each of us. This message, as the Lord was giving this to me this week, I could talk to each individual person in here, and everybody has or have or will have a struggle in their life, whatever it might be. And we'll talk about the different kinds of struggles here in a bit, but I couldn't help but think about, I changed Isabella's diaper yesterday, and if you wanted to see a struggle... Oh, it was dirty and it was everywhere, and I was trying to be the good guy, you know, and it's like putting a diaper on a cat, so I could think about, you know. I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but if you want to, try that right there. And was talking earlier about our church family. You know, this was a pastor appreciation thing, and I'm just so humbled to be able to be a part of this. You don't know how much I appreciate you all. I'm so glad to be here amongst y'all, and I never want to feel like I'm something. I'm just part of it. I'm just trying to do my calling. You know, we each got a calling, whether it's sitting there or up here, and I struggle with that. I struggle with my own inadequacies. I practiced that word, Belinda. Inadequacies. Right, yeah. I struggle with those. You know, I want to do right by God first. Most important, each and every one of us, that should be our goal. To do right for Him, by Him, to Him, to let your life mirror Him. But I fret over... doing something wrong, you know, failing y'all, and I would never fail y'all. But praise the Lord, I thank the Lord for y'all. I do more than you know. But I just wrote down our struggles. We struggle. We have struggles as a country. We have struggles as a state, community, whatever. But it boils right down to each and every one of us have struggles. I see Isabella did a video of her. Going right up the steps, you know, just crawling, she's going. And I think of my mom at the other end of the spectrum struggling to get up them steps. And that's part of life. We all have those. We struggle with all kinds of different things. But the scripture text, no, one more thing. I wrote down about Mike talking about his struggles. He struggles with his back, but struggling with being nervous. The most nervous I get is from right there to right here. Really, the Lord has got me to a place where back there I'm not too nervous anymore. But it's more the anticipation of, God, what am I going to say? And it's not like I'm desperate for what I'm going to say. It's, God, what are you going to say through me? What words are you going to put on me? I've learned... as growing, struggling as I was growing as a pastor, I would try to choreograph and write down and rehearse everything I've said. And the more I learn to get me out of the way, just to put down the thoughts He's given me, the scriptures He's given me, and just stand up here, a willing vessel, and let Him have His way. And that's what we all need to do in our own lives. This thing is not about Jamie and his struggles. It's about us and our struggles. We each have our own struggles. I've seen babies born, my children. I happened to be in there when they were born, and I seen them struggle to gasp that first breath. And what a great thing to witness. But at the other end of the spectrum, I've been in the presence of some fine people in my life, And I've watched them struggle with that last breath. So we all have struggles from beginning to end and all the way through. I remember in my own mind when I became a Christian and I was waiting for the struggles to stop. My mental struggles, my physical struggles, my spiritual struggles. I was waiting for everything to be good, to be right. My thoughts would be pure. My actions would be God-motivated. And my spiritualness, I'd be like right there with John the Beloved. But that didn't happen. I still have struggles today. And this message is going to speak to all of us. It should speak to all of our hearts because each and every one of us have struggles. And I could talk to each one of you on a personal basis. But see, we all have struggles, and it could be right now. So as we get started, my scripture text is in Genesis 25, and I'm going to read verse 22. Genesis chapter 25, and I'm going to read verse 22. Hold up your hand if you're there. Good. Okay. And the children struggled within her. Now I'm going to read 21 and 22. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. He prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. He heard his prayers. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Verse 22 says, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Let us pray. Again, Lord, we're bound here before you on this Sunday morning in late October, Lord, asking for your forgiveness once again, asking for your heartfelt presence to be among us as we open your word before us. We pray you'll be in every word and every thought that goes around the room. Help us to seek you right now, Lord. We love you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that you love us in spite of us. We thank you, Lord, for each and everything. We thank you, Lord, for the songs and the testimonies this morning. And I do right now, Lord, ask for you to get me out of the way, Lord, and I do pray for our pastor today. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And the reason it was that scripture, that's the only place the word struggle is in the Bible. A lot of times he'll give me a word and I'll look and it'll be three books of that word. That is the only place the word struggle is in that word. And we're going to talk about some of the struggles that we'll see with a lot of the characters in the scriptures as we go forward. But it says, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. The children she is speaking of, she had Jacob and Esau. Okay, and they were struggling one another. And if you study them out, you'll see they struggle on and on. And that led me to the point of when you're a Christian, you have two natures. Okay, we are born with a sin nature. Like it or not, that's a given. You are born with a sin nature. You'll be born with desires of this world. We'll get into that here in a bit. But I looked up the word struggle in just a dictionary, and it says, now think about a struggle. It is a violent effort or series of efforts. It is a laborious contest. It's a battle. It is conflict. It is strife. It is to contend with an adversary. We have an adversary, right? Greg talked about that this morning. And our adversary, like he said, is not confined to hell. Our adversary is roaming this earth, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to go and accuse you of everything. It's like the nothing. He wants to pick and choose anything he can find about you that he can spread negatively. Hey, we could start a rumor right now about Greg right there and could pretty near ruin his life. Yeah, we could. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to defeat you. He wants to ruin you. He wants to ruin your life. They say misery loves company, and there is nobody more miserable than Satan. He knows his destination. And his only way to get back at God is to take you with him. In the Hebrew language, the word struggled means to crack in pieces, to break, to bruise, to crush, to destroy, to discourage, to oppress. Now, how often when we come together here do we emphasize one to another words of encouragement? Does Jesus ever give us words of discouragement? No. He loves you. He died for you. So, let's talk about our personal struggles. Each and every one. Think in your own minds right now. Some of the struggles that, you know, I have struggles in my life that you'll never know about. I'll never share those. Those are between me and God. Those are things in there that I would never want exposed, but God knows them, and you all do too. Each and every one of you, admit it, you all have your own deep down inside struggles. Whether it be, let's talk about some mental struggles here for just a minute. And I looked up the word carnal mind. Do you know what the carnal mind is? The carnal mind is the mind you're born with. The carnal mind is without God at all. The carnal mind is what dreams up a lot of this stuff we see in this world today. That is the carnal mind. The carnal mind is all about me. My think process is not to do good for you. My thought process is for what can you do good for me? What can I get from you? What can this world give me? Where can I find my great pleasure? Where can I find my next fix? Where can I do this? It's all about me. That's the carnal mind. It's the flesh. It's the root of a lot of our struggle. That's where Satan comes into play. He throws stuff in our carnal mind. The world out here, we are soaking it up with our carnal mind. Okay, we got to understand that. And the carnal mind, and we'll look at Titus chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Titus chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 13 to 16. It says, the witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they be in sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's the carnal mind. It'll put you right in the category of abominable, a disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate. A carnal mind is not seeking God. A carnal mind is seeking self-satisfaction, my way of thinking. Knowledge. I know enough. I'm good enough. Greg hit on that earlier. The carnal mind thinks I can be good enough to do whatever. I'm better than you. I don't need God. That's the carnal mind. And that's what drives a lot of our issues in this world today. Think about, we struggle with decisions in our daily lives. Now think about some of the decisions we make. Just think if you didn't have God in your life. Just think if he wasn't in the equation. What determines a decision? Something you make up in your own carnal mind. So I think, where does a lot of the information in my carnal mind come from? Satan. That's fact. That's If it don't come from God, any other source is hopeless. Let's talk about a God-serving mind. Proverbs 2, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Says, my son, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear with wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, when I got to make a decision, wouldn't I want to go to where I could get the most knowledge, where I could get the best advice, where I could speak to the source of wisdom? That's the point of that right there. In our mental minds, let's fill it with God's Word. Let's fill it with the hope that's in the Word of God. Let's fill it with the truth that comes from the source of creation. Because the carnal mind is the source of itself. Let's talk a little bit about some of our physical struggles. And mind you, I couldn't help but I'm going to talk about Jillian a little bit. We've seen the physical struggles that she goes through. We're all witnesses of that. But we all realize that we all have others. We all know there's others that go through those physical struggles. And then we have our own that, there again, people don't know about. Greg was saying this morning, you know, I thought, man, right along with the message this morning, Greg was saying, man, I don't feel good today. He's struggling to be here. How many of us others are that way that we keep it hid or we don't say nothing about it? But that is where the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's a struggle. So I think, and the point of all this is in our struggles, we can succeed. We can seek God and get through our struggles because we're going to have them regardless. If you think you're not, you're misinformed. I thought about our finances. You know, I can look among you. I don't know who's having financial trouble or not. Don't know. And don't want to know. But that's the type of struggles we can have. But you know what? God will provide all your needs. Amen. His word right there tells us. I think about personal relationships in each of our lives. Whether it be marriage or with your struggle with your children or cousins or aunts or uncles or whomever it might be. You may be going through a struggle with that right now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. In a struggle with I don't know how to go. I want to emphasize focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. In any struggle you're in, if you're focused on that struggle, you're not focused on Christ. And Greg, as he was talking this morning, was talking about repentance. Repentance is turning away from something that's got your focus, that's got your commitment. Repentance is turning away from that and turning your focus on Jesus Christ, on something that's pure and true and real and will deliver you. Focused over there will get you nowhere. We'll keep you in a struggle, keep you down, keep you wallowing. I've been there. I've done that myself. I wallowed in that pit. If for 10 years I wallowed around thinking, oh, there's no hope. How am I going to get here? How am I going to get there? I just want to leave. I want to end it. I want to hide in the closet. I don't want anybody to know. That hurts. That's hard. But Jesus, he reached down and picked me up. just as He will each and every one of you in this room. If you're a born-again Christian here this morning, He has picked you up out of your struggle. Amen. He puts you on a path that He will lead you. He will help you. He will guide you. Stay focused. Stay focused. I keep thinking about Dad, when we'd be driving around back in the day. Rod will vouch for this. Dad'd say, "You boys watch the road, I'm watching for deer." Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. So you think, you know, there's going to be a wreck. You know, that's why if you lose your focus, there's going to be a wreck. If you're struggling, focus. Focus, focus on the one thing. Don't stay focused on, what is it, you put a Band-Aid on it? No. Go get heart surgery done. He'll fix it. I'm going to talk a little bit about Paul's thorn. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody knows Paul. We know he wrote the majorities of the epistles. We know Paul was a great and we put him up on a pedestal, so to speak, a powerful speaker, a powerful man of God. He started many churches. He preached everywhere at any time to anybody. He had no fear. He focused on Jesus Christ. But we'll talk just a quick minute there. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me." So you think about Paul right there. Why was he sick? He was such a great man for God. It kept him humble to start out. That's what that says. It kept him humble. But I think about Jillian. Why is Jillian still sick? God will be glorified through it. And that's what Paul said. Let God be glorified through my infirmities. We don't know what God's going to do with somebody that's sick or an illness or whatever it might be. She's such a blessing to all of us. She's such an encouragement to me. I go visit her, and she ministers to me. I come away encouraged, hoping that my faith can grow that strong to be the witness as she goes through that. I'd probably be laying there whining like, you know, I need a pacifier or something. I'm going to talk about our sin nature in John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses John 3, 16 through 21 and really take this in, because John 3, 16, we've heard, it's a powerful verse. We've heard it all of our lives. You see it at the football games or whatever. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You think about that. Take that in. But now let's read these next two verses. It says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And that tells me right away, God didn't come to save the good people of the world. God come to save the lost. Jesus died for that which needed, because we were all condemned. He don't look down and say, "Oh, you done that, you're condemned now." We were born condemned. That's our sin nature. We got to realize that. So, and that's a struggle, and I don't mean a struggle that I have an issue with, but it's something that I'm that God is teaching me as I grow. I'm trying to grasp it. Don't you want all God has to offer? Don't you? I do. I want everything He's got to offer me. And sometimes it's hard for me to grasp. Sometimes it's hard for me to think, is that really that way? It is really that way. It is. We were all condemned already, and He died for us. So when we have that better than thou attitude, remember, you was as condemned as whoever you're looking down your nose at. That's right. That's the natural man. That's the struggles that we got to get beyond. Hey. Oh, He loves us all the same. I can't emphasize that enough. He don't love Dave any more than He loves me or anybody else. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that all? That's worth shouting about. Let's talk just a few minutes about spiritual struggles. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 7. And these are writings from Paul. Chapter 7, we'll read verses 14 and 15. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Verse 15 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." That kind of sounds like a tongue twister, but to put it in layman's terms, has anybody ever done what they knew they shouldn't have done?
Guilty.
And do you sometimes do or don't do what you should have done? Hey, that's that spiritual struggle that we have. I remember laying there in bed thinking, oh, I need to get up. Oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But 9:05, when it's too late for me to go, so when we was going in Parkersburg, when it'd be too late to get there in time, it was like, oh, man, I wish I'd have went. You ever do that? Oh, I should have went. I wish I'd have done that. That's Paul. That's this icon of the Scriptures, a real man of God. And he's saying he has spiritual struggles. We do. So I remember there was a time when God was picking me up out of that hole I was in. He helped me to realize that I wasn't the only one that felt that way. I thought I was the only one that felt that way. No, that's spiritual struggles that we all have. We'll read verse 24 of the same chapter in Romans. Now listen to this. Have you ever said this? "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Who shall deliver us from this mess that we're in, that we're born into? That this carnal mind keeps trying to keep us down. It says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Verse 25 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." That's the key to the whole message of the struggle, is our fleshly nature struggling with our spiritual nature. The one that Jesus Christ come and done for us. Without Jesus Christ, we would never overcome the struggle. He is the overcomer. Amen. Just a few more quick verses here, and then I'll be about done. Ephesians, let's see, no, let's go. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 9. We'll read verses 11 through 14. Now remember that verse. "Oh, wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14 says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." You know who us is? It's us. It's us. Hold up your hand, because you are an us. "For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies through the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God?" He's meaning if that blood back in the day could cover that sin temporarily, how much more could the true blood of the living God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, God in the flesh, how much more? Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22 says, "Having therefore, brethren," if you're in a struggle right now, listen to this clearly. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." If you're in the midst of a struggle now, you can go directly to God, the Creator of all things, with your struggle through the blood of Jesus Christ. I can't help but think if somebody was here, maybe wanted to say a testimony this morning, but they was kind of afraid and struggle with that. I've done that. I struggled with that. Oh, what do people think? Oh, yeah. Hey, with boldness, by the blood of Jesus, stand up and brag on your Creator, your Savior, every chance you get. Bring praise. Hey, a testimony is not standing up so saying, "Hey, everybody, look at me." It's me standing up and saying, "Everybody, look at him. Look what he done. Look what God done for this menial thing here, this carnal-minded man that was not worthy of anything. Thank you, Jesus, for what you done for me." If he saved your soul, if you've asked him to save you and you've repented and received him, you have the greatest testimony there ever was. You can throw all the mustard on it you want, but the blood of Jesus is the greatest testimony that you can have. And you can share that, and that is a form of worship. That is a form of praise. And it's a sermon in itself. Share that with us. I need encouragement from you. You need encouragement from me. People in this world out here, they need encouragement from you. I'm going to go clear out there to say, somebody here in the Word of God depends on you completely. Think about that. Okay. I was reading Hebrews 10, verse 19. It's over here. "By a new and living way." We Debbie and I attended a Sunday school class at Grace Gospel. That's where they got the name, A New and Living Way. And it was for young Christians as we were starting out. Because you think about the struggle just begins a lot when you first get saved. I remember my Uncle Wayne, one night he went and received the Lord. And then he said the next morning, he said Satan was sitting on his shoulder saying, "What'd you do that for? You won't be able to go hang out with these guys no more. You won't be able to go do that and go do that." The struggle started. But what did he do? He got on his knees and asked God for guidance. He more or less said, "Satan, get thee behind me. In Jesus' name." He took on that new and living way. Yeah. "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and too much the more as ye see the day approaching. Think again, when I was wallowing in that hole, in that pit, and you might be doing the same thing. You're laying there by yourself. You wanted to hide. You wanted to cover up. You wanted to run from God. Run to God. Man, I really thought a lot about that. I was like, why did I run from him? That was that carnal mind telling me, you don't need him. Man, we need him more than ever. And that's when we really need him, is in those spiritual struggles. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Get thee away from me, Satan, in Jesus' name. Draw nigh to God. If I run from God when I'm in a struggle, who's standing out there with his arms wide open? Satan. He wants to keep us down there. He wants to destroy us. He could have destroyed Debbie and my marriage because I really didn't care. And then who knows what would have happened from that point on. Seek him. Seek him in all things. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And that's not saying to lay there and moan and whine, but that is to say, and focus on him. Put it all toward him and not try to find happiness in your own way. Find the joy that only Jesus can give us. And in closing, I'm going to quote something I heard Adrian Rogers say as you come and get a song. And this is profound. Faith is taking God at his word. Hey, that's pretty plain and simple, don't you think? But do you literally take God at his word here this morning? Because when we're in a struggle and we're not seeking God, we're questioning his word. We're not seeking that first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if you got a struggle in your life right now, seek the Lord. Pray in your seat or come forward. Folks will pray with you. But don't continue in a struggle that you don't have to be in. Don't waller in that. Satan's going to keep you down. If the Lord's dealing with you this morning for some reason and you're in the midst of a struggle, give it all to him. Seek him right now.